With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
We wanna holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for every radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for every radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware.
You ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab? You know, because we all need some strategies, don't we?
Ready or not, here we are.
Yeah, we are. Hey, folks, welcome. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living Radio. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan. Just trying to be happy.
If you're happy and you know it.
Clap your hands. Yeah. Well, you know, is there an art, Lauren, to happiness? Is there a, you know, we all want to be happy. I mean, I think everybody wants to be happy.
I think we say that, yes.
We do say that. You know, I know, I get what you're saying. By the way, some people live their lives, you know, you would wonder, right?
Yeah.
Does this person really want to be happy?
Right, yeah. I mean, because we have a tendency to get in our own ways a lot. Yeah.
But we do. I don't think we're conscious of it.
No.
But, you know, oftentimes we do get in our own way.
But I like this idea of the art of happiness.
Yeah.
Because I guess I could call myself an artist.
I think you can. You're a bona fide artist.
I do enjoy dabbling in arts of all forms, and I think that's a great way, because when you think about what the art of art looks like, right?
Yep.
It's about putting in the work. It's about doing a sketch or an outline, coming up with an idea. And then practice.
Yeah, it's not about luck. It's not about
waiting for
the perfect circumstance, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about choices.
Right.
And happiness, the art of happiness, is the same thing. It's about daily choices. And so we're going to talk about some pretty simple choices today. They're pretty simple habits that reveal how people create lives that they truly love.
Mm-hmm.
And when you love your life, guess what?
You're happy.
You're happy. You're happy.
Happiness follows suit.
You're happy and you know it, and you'll clap your hands. Yeah, exactly. we all will. Folks, thank you for tuning in to Strategies for Living. We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible. The Robinson Film Center, Azalea Cleaners, Pintail Roofing, Learning RX, the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. Back in a moment with the art of happiness. What are the habits that people who love their lives do? We're talking about them today on Strategies for Living.
Tune in daily, find the light. Healthy mind and spirits bright. Strategies for living strong. Feel the vibe, it won't go wrong.
And welcome in to Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. So, are you one of the lucky few? Yeah. Some people believe that, hey, you know, you just have to have some luck because happiness is elusive. And it can feel that way sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, it does.
Sure.
As though it is reserved for quote unquote, the lucky few. But here's the truth.
And yet that's a belief.
That's you're exactly right. And beliefs play a tremendous part in what we create that we look at as our lives, our lives, right? In truth, happiness is not an accident. It is, as we have talked about, it's the pursuit of happiness. And that's an art.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an art to that. And, you know, you're a very good artist.
I suppose. I enjoy it, yes.
We have a lot of examples of your practice. Mm-hmm. And I can see the progression from, I mean, we have some pieces that you did when you were little.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not that you're not still little, in stature.
Yeah.
But I hear you. You know, the thing is, what did you do with your art? You practiced.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting that you say that because I can remember, I guess I was late high school, maybe early college. I can remember having this sort of aha, epiphany, philosophic moment within myself where I said to myself, I still aspire to do this, by the way. I want to practice doing everything the way I do art.
Mm.
And the way I thought about that was the way that I practiced doing my art was I would often come, I'd have this idea, I would sketch it out on paper, and then just the outline, the vague outline, mm-hmm. right? And then I would leave it for a minute, and I'd come back to it. And I'd fill in some details and I'd get really close and personal until I was sick. And then I would move away from it again. Okay. And it's this process of going in, filling in details, and then stepping back and looking at it in a different way. And that was important.
Like because seeing it with different eyes.
Yeah, because one of the practices that I picked up actually as a kid when I was doing actual, you know, physical art, painting or drawing or whatever, was to hold the picture up to a mirror.
Okay.
Because it gave me a totally new perspective on what the piece was looking like. And I got totally different ideas about what needed to happen or where I wanted to go with it next. And so I can remember thinking about it, you know, when I came up with this idea that all of life, I want to practice that way in terms of going in, really working diligently on filling in some details and then making the time to step back, look at it in a different way, and then this process of in and out.
All right, so listen to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen to really what you're talking about here. You practice, then you refine it.
Yes.
And then you live it daily. Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's right.
I mean, so, you know, again, that's art, and it can be practiced, it can be refined, it can be lived daily, but most of us don't develop the habits. And so there are some pretty simple habits that you can observe in people who genuinely love their lives. I recently ran across an article written by Lackland Brown. Lackland Brown is he's quite an influencer today, and he actually has launched some. He's a psychology graduate. He's a mindfulness enthusiast. He's written a best-selling book called Hidden Secrets of Buddhism: How to Live with Maximum Impact and Minimum Ego. And he really is about blending the best of Eastern wisdom with modern well-being practices.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's founded some digital publications that people will probably know. Hack Spirit is probably one of the ones that he's founded that most people have probably run into. Mm-hmm. And so he made an observation of, okay, well, happy people, there are 8 simple habits that he has been able to observe in people who genuinely love their lives. And, you know, these people don't rely on grand achievements. They don't rely on perfect circumstances, but they cultivate happiness.
Right.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
In the ordinary moments, right?
Yeah, it's about creating, setting out the intention and purposefully creating with each moment that arrives.
There's the art, right?
Yeah.
There's the
it's
art.
It's about taking whatever medium is presented before you and making something beautiful out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things with art, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that you can really appreciate is the different mediums mm-hmm. that can be used,
and
right?
I would challenge us this. I firmly believe that we are all artists, okay? Because we are light. That's all we are.
Yeah.
Right? And so anything that we do, anything that we say, create, in whatever it is, we are creating with light, and we're bending light.
Absolutely.
with our very existence.
Yep.
And so to think of yourself as art,
and
also
we are.
The artist,
and we are.
Also the artist, right?
Yep.
And to remember that also, you know, there's heart in art.
Heart in art,
there's
like
art
that.
Heart in art, yeah.
You're a poet and don't know it.
I don't know about that.
All right, so what are these habits that many times might feel like, you know, this is elusive, but these habits are habits that we can all do that will help us move towards the creation of this artistry we're talking about.
To create
today.
Joy.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what your canvas is right now.
Right.
I mean, you start where you are, right?
That's right.
All right. So starting where you are, one of the things is to practice gratitude every single day.
Yes.
And I would say many times during the day.
Yeah.
So happy people have this habit. Mm-hmm. They have a habit of noticing what's good, what's already good in their lives. You know, everything is, there's not perfection, right?
No.
But consistently, can we take a moment?
It's to ask in each moment, what am I grateful for? Because
yes.
You can find something in every moment, even if
Absolutely.
It's as simple, and I'm saying that kind of lightly because it's not simple, but if it's as simple as your heart beating in your chest and the fact that you're here in the form you're in is an incredible miracle that we
in
can
and
all,
of itself.
That we can the, all be grateful
the
for.
The pump that is our heart.
And it's not even a pump, right?
We're
discovering that it's actually a vortex generator, right?
Yeah, the generator
it's
that is our heart.
It's beyond a pump at this point.
And the miracle that are our lungs, right?
Yeah.
even if they're not working 100%, they're working. Still working, and they're still, if we're alive, and they're miraculous,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, this is scientifically backed, right? I mean, we have seen study after study after study, which shows the physical benefits of gratitude, right? From lowering heart disease to, you know, lowering stress to lowering cortisol. I mean, it all adds up.
Absolutely. So, psychologists refer to gratitude journaling. Mm-hmm. So write down some things. It may be three things. It may be five things that you're thankful for each day. Mm-hmm. So along the way, if you gratitude journal every evening, let's say, you're going to be looking all throughout the day. You're going to you're gonna be more conscious.
I think I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again because it's worth sharing. It was just very impactful in my life. You know, one of the tasks or assignments I was given in grad school was to keep a gratitude journal.
Yep.
And she actually told us to do five things. And of course, we could pick when we wrote the five things. It just had to be five things a day. And so what I found myself doing as I engaged in this task was actually, for me, I didn't even set aside a time. What I ended up doing is throughout the day, I would notice when I felt myself open and I would say, that's gratitude. What am I grateful for? Mm-hmm. And I would jot it down.
Okay.
And so my practice was actually ended up being throughout the day. And what happened over those weeks and eventually months of me really honing into that, I'm going to call it that vibration, that frequency of gratitude, and recognizing it as it appeared, was something kind of interesting, because I noticed all of a sudden I wasn't just grateful for my dog or the sun or things that we're generally thankful for, but I suddenly found myself grateful for things like, I missed that turn, or that my client canceled on me. Yeah. But I could find gratitude even in those, what we would often find, ungrateful moments.
Absolutely. You know, gratitude retrains the brain.
Yeah.
And so instead of defaulting to complaints or comparisons, what you do is you begin to see life through the lens of abundance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Through the lens of abundance rather than through the lens of lack.
Yeah, you see that everything's happening for you.
Yeah.
And it's something to be grateful for.
Life doesn't happen to us. It happens for us.
Right.
We're talking about, some very simple things that we're talking about the art of happiness today and some simple habits that people have who are truly happy. We've got a lot more to discuss. So stay with us here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back.
We all have problems every day. We all need help along the way. We need strategies for living. Radio.
And welcome back into Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking about the art of happiness today. Talking about some simple habits of people who absolutely love their lives. And we started out with gratitude. I think that's appropriate. So people who love their lives practice gratitude daily. And you might even think of keeping a journal, writing it down. Another thing that happy people do is they nurture meaningful relationships in their lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, we often kind of dream up, we imagine that happiness is something that is going to be achieved. Oh, when I accomplish this, when I achieve that.
Right, or when I get this, or when I get this. Yeah.
But let me tell you what about the research. The research is very clear on this. The quality of our relationships is the strongest predictor of long-term happiness. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Because it's so important to hear, because research absolutely backs this up. The quality of our relationships, that's the strongest predictor of long-term happiness. So happy people.
It's not about where you go. It's not about what you do.
No.
It's like the song says.
It's who
about
you connect with.
Who you spend it with.
Happy people invest in connection, right?
Right. I mean, I think this makes so much sense because, I mean, what it makes me think of is as we transition into whatever afterlife holds for us, we don't get to take the places. We don't get to take the things.
You mean I don't get to take my money or my gold?
No.
Or my stocks?
As much as some people would like to think you want to be buried with all of that just so you can take it with you.
Yeah.
No, what I truly believe, and from what I've understood from all of the research into afterlife, you know, existence, is that what we get to take is our experiences.
Yep.
And what is the foundation for that but our relationships, starting with our relationship with ourselves. Yep. And with our bodies.
Absolutely.
And our minds.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy people invest in connection. They make time for themselves. Mm-hmm. They make time for family dinners. They make time for coffee with friends. They make time for heartfelt conversations. I mean, mm-hmm. again, we have to make the space, right?
Right.
Because, you know, do we call our best friend and say, get over here right now, we're going to have a heartfelt conversation. What?
I mean, you could try that.
Well, you could try, but we're both kind of chuckling at it because, I mean, you know, okay, let's sit down and have a heartfelt conversation.
It's not really a forced thing.
Yeah.
It needs to be organic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In other words, and we're not chasing goals. We're nurturing bonds. That's what happy people do.
And what that starts with, what the deep, real, enriching relationships start with, I believe, is presence.
Mm.
Deep, deep-seated presence in the moment with the person or animal or thing that you're in relationship
absolutely with.
Is to be there with them.
Absolutely.
Fully.
Yep. So there's a Harvard study of adult development that shows that good relationships actually protect us. They protect us from loneliness. They boost our health, so they protect us from getting sick
or
sicker.
System, yeah.
They boost our immune system, and they bring life satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
That all spells more happiness when you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
Another thing is simplicity. So people who are, you know, are truly happy embrace simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't clutter their lives with a lot of drama, with a lot of endless consumption, with a lot of retail therapy. You know, I got to make myself better. I got to go buy something. And how many of us have piles of stuff in our home? That we don't know what to do with, right?
We have piles of stuff externally. We have piles of stuff internally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's about being able to look at it and just shift it aside for a moment.
Yep.
Because what you'll find is that, you know, when you have all of that clutter, whether it's internal or external, it's actually a block to the light and to the flow of life. Through you.
Yeah.
And so taking time to, you know, actually declutter, whether that's physically, mentally, or emotionally.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit because, I mean, we're talking simplicity here. So we're talking simplify. Okay, so simplify doesn't necessarily mean minimalism in the aesthetic sense, right?
Right.
What it means, it means stripping away what doesn't matter,
right?
So you can focus on then what does matter, right?
Yeah, and you're talking about what simplicity means and simple means, and I have to go here now. You know, the word simple etymologically breaks down to sim and then the PLE part, ple, right?
Right, right.
And the first part, sim, means one.
Okay.
Of course, as one.
Right.
And then the last part refers to fold. Sounds kind of biblical to me, right?
Yeah.
I'll gather you up in one fold,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And my science brain kind of thinks about how we're all of our proteins and our DNA and our organelles, they all form pleats or folds structurally.
Right.
And so it's this idea that simplicity, to embrace the simple life, is to really reckon with the idea that we are one and we are part of this one fold of the body of Christ, if you will.
Yep.
The whole body of the universe.
And when we're talking about, when you're talking about Christ,
yeah.
you're not, talking about Yeshua, a person,
Jesus,
Christ,
no. right.
Yeshua. You're talking about Christ consciousness.
Right.
The body of consciousness.
Yes,
the body
exactly.
of people who are, understand, mm-hmm. are seeking to understand the oneness.
Right.
Yep.
That's it. Yeah.
And so.
And that's the simple life, is to seek that
yep.
in all things. And what that means, you know, whatever you need to do in your life to reflect back to yourself that you are, and we all are part of the oneness, that's what simplifying means.
Absolutely.
It means to push aside any distractions or anything that blocks you from being one with your neighbor, one with everyone.
One with your people who share your street, your neighborhood,
yes.
your city.
Your community.
You know, your community, your state, your country.
Our world.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And that's very different from chasing more,
mm-hmm.
because people who you know are truly happy understand that chasing more rarely is going to bring us peace.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not about
when you're going to get off the hamster wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what that beckons.
Owning fewer things that you have to worry with, spending money consciously. Creating space in their schedules
and stillness
often gives a deeper sense of joy and a deeper sense of freedom. Mm. To me, that spells happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Another thing is they live mindfully in the present moment.
Okay.
That's the artistry. That's you know, happiness is never ever ever. Ever, never found in yesterday or in tomorrow.
Mm.
We can't find happiness in yesterday. We cannot find happiness in tomorrow. It where is the only place that happiness is experienced?
In the now.
Now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Where everything else is experienced.
Yeah, in the
in
now.
The ever present now.
Right. And so those who love their lives make mindfulness a daily habit.
Mm.
Now, it's not just that there's not just one way to accomplish this.
No.
I mean, you can meditate, you can do centered prayer,
mm-hmm.
you can do mindful walking.
You can bring it into, I argue, you can bring it into every moment of your day if you so choose and are devoted enough to practice.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we did a program yesterday on just breathing, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, the simply pausing to breathe when life is getting overwhelming can be a form of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a one thing, right?
No. I mean, I always go back to the old Eckhart Tolle, right? If you're doing dishes, do the dishes. If you're doing laundry, do the laundry.
Mm.
You know, and what that means is don't go catch yourself if you're out wandering mentally or emotionally somewhere else from, as Carla McCormick would say, from where your butt is. Because that's what
yeah.
mindfulness
yeah.
is, right?
Yeah.
Is to be where your butt is.
That's it. That's you've that old philosopher Carla McCormick. Oh, you know what mindfulness does? It actually shifts us from autopilot, which we're on a lot of the time.
Yes.
So it shifts us from autopilot into presence. And when we're present, ordinary moments. They could be washing the dishes, mm-hmm. like you said. They could be sipping coffee or tea.
Yep.
It could be hearing children's laughter or anybody's laughter. It could be simply just feeling the sun
yes.
on your skin. Oh my goodness. All of that can become extraordinary.
Yes.
You know? One of the central teachings of the Hidden Secrets of Buddhism, the book that I mentioned before, is how mindfulness can free us, can liberate us from regrets and worries, which allow us to find joy right now. Mm. You know? And why wait? I mean, you know, really, why wait?
Yeah.
I mean, if not now,
tell me when.
Yeah, if you can have it now, why wouldn't you have it now, right?
Why wouldn't you invite with intention that feeling of expansive gratitude?
And here's the deal.
Yeah.
It's always available
Absolutely.
To us. It's always available. We're talking about the art of happiness today. And what are the things that happy people, what are the traits and the...
They clap their hands, so I'm told.
If you're happy and you know it, you will. We'll have more when we come back here on Strategies for Living. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living as we talk today about the art of happiness and some simple habits of people who love their lives. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. So we've talked about practicing gratitude daily. We've talked about nurturing meaningful relationships. We've talked about embracing simplicity. We've talked about living mindfully in the present moment. Another thing that happens is these folks really focus on growth, not on perfection.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's a big one for happiness.
Happy people don't waste their energy trying to be flawless. Instead, they see life as an ongoing process, a process of growth. And so when mistakes are made, inevitably they will be, they view those as opportunities to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, what can I gain? And when challenges come up, what can I gain from this instead right. of why me?
Oh, yeah.
And so psychologists identify that as a growth mindset. And what it does is it helps us to be resilient and curious and hopeful. And so life stops being a test that we've got to pass and becomes a journey to explore. We work with a student.
Yes.
And we continually
this is one of those things,
try to focus yep. this student on, you know, get out of the mindset of you're going to have to pass a test.
Right. There's no pass fail. There's yeah. no right wrong.
What's important is the learning. Mm-hmm. What you're growing, you're learning, and you're, you know, there's not a we're not going to give you a multiple choice test. The proof in the pudding will be how you live your life.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, we all get indoctrinated into
yeah.
the school model, and so it's hard to say, you know, get
it's
out
tough.
Of that. I'm going to have to, you know, there's going to be a test on this,
right? Or grade or
yeah.
pass fail.
So I got to be, you know, I tell myself, oh, I got to be perfect here, when in fact, there's really no such thing.
Right.
Another thing that is cultivated is kindness. Lauren, it may sound simple, but kindness is one of the most powerful habits of happiness.
Yes.
Acts of kindness, whether it is just simply holding the door for someone else, or sending a message of support, or just doing something volunteer-wise.
Yeah, paying for the person in front of you's meal, you know.
Or yeah.
Smiling at a stranger.
I was leaving the radio station one night. I was, you know, I didn't want to make dinner, and I pulled up to Wendy's. I think I was going to get us a couple of baked potatoes or something. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But there was a black truck in front of me.
Right.
And, you know, I placed my order like you do. I got up to the window, and the person handed me my order. And I said, well, how much do I owe you? And they said, oh, the person ahead of you paid for you, mm-hmm. paid for your dinner. Have no idea. All I know, it was somebody in a black truck. Thank you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I had no idea who that was. But it made me feel good mm-hmm. the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And I'm betting it made that other person, it was, feel good.
Here's the deal. We also know that giving or acts of kindness are just as beneficial, if not sometimes more beneficial, for the giver.
Yeah.
There are lots of hypotheses as to that. But I have to wonder if it's not related to the idea that we're all one. And so as we do unto each other, we do unto ourselves.
Absolutely. And the research shows that helping others releases endorphins.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that endorphins are sometimes called the helper's high, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
People who regularly practice kindness experience lower stress and a deeper sense of connection.
Yeah.
Boundaries.
Ooh.
People who are happy set boundaries. Loving your life doesn't mean saying yes, 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 yes to everything. In fact,
it also doesn't mean saying no to everything.
No, it doesn't. But people who love their lives are skilled at, they know when to say no. They know how to say no. And they understand that time and energy are not unlimited, right? Time and energy in this lifetime are finite. So by setting healthy boundaries, they protect their well-being, their relationships, and their focus. It's not about shutting somebody out. It's not about shutting other people out. It's about showing up more fully mm-hmm. for the things
and
the people
and
that truly matter. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's about honing your focus, being able to see where your energy leaks are, you know, and recognizing that I want to put as much energy as I can into the values which I hold and are in alignment with what I hold.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it's a process of refinement.
Yep. And I had this book in my hand yesterday, mm-hmm. Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning.
Yes.
So the last thing I want to talk about is people who are happy find meaning in what they do.
Mm.
You know, those who love their lives have a sense of purpose.
And this doesn't mean, I'm guessing, this doesn't mean finding meaning in what you do as a career, although that's
wonderful.
It
doesn't have to, no. I mean, and you know, it doesn't even have to be grand.
Right.
I mean, it could be just raising wonderful children. It could be creating beautiful art.
Yeah.
You know,
it's finding meaning in the everyday moments.
Yes. Yeah. It could just simply be bringing joy into everyday interactions. Psychologists distinguish between hedonic happiness, which is pleasure, mm-hmm. and eudaimonic. That doesn't sound good, does it? Eudaimonic happiness, which is meaning. And the meaning one brings deeper and more lasting fulfillment.
Mm.
So when we feel that our lives matter, we're going to stop asking what's missing here, and we begin to feel grateful.
Right.
For the roles that we play in the larger human story.
Mm.
You know, we may not understand, you know, and connect that we're back to something you've been talking about today. We're all one,
mm-hmm.
meaning we're all connected. So there's no too small act. Every act of kindness, every connection, every... You know,
every
matters and changes the world
yeah.
in a very positive way.
And we have the power to co-create with it. That's the
absolutely,
art.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I hope, my hope is that listening to these 8 traits of, you know, really happy people helps all of us to, you know, improve our artistic abilities to create on the canvas of life.
Of life.
There you go. There you go. We'll be back. More strategies to come. And just like that, you know, time seems to just fly by when you're having fun. Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Strategies for a Living. I hope you did have fun today, and I hope Strategies for Living helps all of us understand that learning, growing, can be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Play with it. Enjoy life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've said it so many times on this program. If I live to be 105, hope I do. If I live to be 105, I want to remain a curious student right up, you know, to the final curtain.
Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about, you know, happy people today and what they do. What's your takeaway from our time today?
The importance that happiness is not an elusive thing that just happens upon us, right? It's cultivated in daily small choices, right? Mm-hmm. And also you brought this in at the very end here, the idea of creating for the sake of creating. If you can do that with happiness, right?
Yes.
So seek it out and maybe try one of the habits we talked about today, whether it was, you know, focusing on gratitude or
deepening a relationship.
Try one out, you know, because true happiness isn't somewhere far away. You know, it's in the way
right here
that we choose to live today, each moment.
It's right here, and it's inside all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's not out there.
We look for it outside, but it's in here all along, you know. Lauren, thank you. Folks, thank you. We appreciate you being a part of Strategies for Living, and we appreciate our sponsors. Have a lot of gratitude for our sponsors who make all of this possible. The Robinson Film Center. And Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing, and Learning RX, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who is it that you'd call? What is it that you'd say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.